This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
We are here today with Catherine Bliss, Deputy Director and Senior Fellow for the CSIS Americas Program and the Global Health Policy Center. Before starting at CSIS, Catherine was a Foreign Affairs Officer at the U.S. Department of State, where she focused on global health in the Western Hemisphere and the Bureau of Oceans, Environment, and Science. She is currently an Adjunct Associate Professor at Georgetown University and teaches courses in the School of Foreign Services Center for Latin American Studies. Catherine Bliss recently authored a publication for CSIS entitled Enhancing U.S. Leadership on Drinking Water and Sanitation, Opportunities Within Global Health Programs. Thank you for joining us today, Catherine. Even with the current economic crisis and dwindling support for foreign aid, you state in your report that 61% of Americans still feel that improving access to safe drinking water should be a top priority for the U.S. government. Why do you think clean water, specifically, has maintained popular support?
Hi, Suzanne. Thanks for talking with me. I think that's a great question. I think there are a couple of different things that are going on right now. On the one hand, over the last few years, Americans across the country have taken advantage of opportunities to get involved in service projects around the world that many of which have to do with water. So people have had the opportunity to work through their faith-based organizations, through local volunteer groups, through Rotary clubs, and other kinds of community organizations to work in countries and see firsthand the needs with respect to water sanitation and hygiene, and to also see some of the solutions that can be implemented at the local level. So I think that's one thing that's going on, is that people have firsthand experience and are gaining a very clear understanding of what's needed. Another thing that I think has happened is that there's been a lot of advocacy around water sanitation and hygiene in recent years. There's been a lot of pressure or encouragement on the part of different organizations to raise the awareness both of the public and of legislators. And in 2005, this combination of different forms of advocacy, I think led to the successful push for the Senator Paul Simon Water for the Poor Act that President Bush signed in 2005, and which made addressing the water and sanitation needs of some of the world's most vulnerable populations an explicit component of foreign policy for the United States. And I think that has generally raised awareness of the issue across the country as well.
You also discuss how access to safe drinking water and sanitation has particularly negative implications for women and girls. Can you tell us a bit more about this relationship?
One of the things that we know is that in many countries around the world, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, it is women and girls who bear the responsibility for bringing water to the household. In many communities, families do not have access to a tap or a pipe supply like we do here in the United States. And so it is frequently women and girls who are the ones who take plastic containers, take buckets or jerry cans, and are walking, in some cases, up to 6 hours a day, 10 miles a day, going to fetch water and then bringing that back. And sometimes those containers can weigh up to 45 pounds or more. And this is a significant time burden, and it's also a physical burden, especially for younger children who are involved in this. At the same time, one of the things that happens is that families who have children who are sick because of water-related disease, find that parents are spending time away from productive activities, spending time at home taking care of their children. So not only does this result in lost educational opportunities for boys and girls, but also results in lost income for parents who may have to spend time at home, and it's usually mothers who spend time at home taking care of their children. For girls, the lack of sanitation facilities at school presents challenges as well. One of the things we've seen is that in some cases, families are reluctant to send their daughters to school if there are not sanitation facilities for girls, or if there are not separate facilities for girls. And this is because as girls get older, families are concerned that they will become vulnerable to the lack of privacy creates vulnerabilities, either because they won't have access at the school, or because they'll have to go away from the school or away from the home to find a place to relieve themselves in private. This results in many cases in girls dropping out of school, and thus reduces their opportunities for educational achievement in the long term.
And I'm hoping we can talk a little bit about the U.S. government's role in addressing these challenges. In your report, you discuss that water, sanitation, and hygiene are issues that are addressed by a number of agencies and organizations within the U.S., including USAID, the Millennium Challenge Corporation, Department of Defense, the Environmental Protection Agency, Peace Corps, and others. Yet you state there is little coordination between these bodies. What steps can the U.S. take to improve this and maximize efficiencies?
Well, it's true that there's kind of an alphabet soup of agencies with different roles and responsibilities with respect to international water and sanitation issues. And I think that in the years since the implementation of the Senator Paul Simon Water for the Poor Act, there has been much greater collaboration, say, between the Department of State and USAID over the spending of development assistance funds in particular. But there are a number of other agencies, including Department of Defense, which has some of its own funding, other agencies that receive funding for technical assistance. And because those discussions are taking place, you know, outside of the framework necessarily of foreign assistance or development assistance, they often don't coincide. And so, you know, one of the things that has been proposed and which may be helpful is the, you know, appointment or establishment of a senior coordinator for water within the State Department or USAID or across both of those agencies, which could really have the responsibility or the authority to bring all of those agencies together to talk in a more comprehensive fashion about the ways that they are spending money and how much they are spending and how they are measuring the results of what they are doing. And I think any coordinator that is appointed, if that's something that happens, would have to be very mindful of incorporating the health sector into that kind of discussion and ensuring that the various agencies within the U.S. government that look at the intersection between health and water are very much incorporated into that discussion.
You say the United States has missed opportunities to make clear the links between health and water in high-level political meetings like the G8. With the Obama administration's announcement of a new 6-year global health initiative, how can the U.S. really capitalize on this momentum and take a position of leadership in water, sanitation, and hygiene?
Well, one of the things that has happened in recent years is that, you know, water has come up in the G8 discussions. Frequently, however, water has been discussed as a topic or a theme on its own or under some of the environmental sustainability issues as opposed to the global health issues, which have focused on HIV/AIDS, pandemic preparedness, and other communicable diseases. So, you know, one of the things would be to make explicit those links, you know, perhaps through some of the upcoming G8 type discussions. At the same time, I think there are opportunities within the involvement of the United States in some of the World Health Organization or World Health Assembly meetings, and that's the meeting of all the member states of the WHO that takes place in May of every year. And that's where countries come together to discuss some of the major health issues of the day and to make resolutions about the kinds of activities they're going to, you know, take forward over the next year or over the next couple of years. And the United States has an opportunity to try to see that water and sanitation are issues raised at the World Health Assembly and an opportunity to, you know, make a resolution to better incorporate water and sanitation into some of the major global health programs that the U.S. has and to encourage other countries to do the same. Over the last few years, the United States has made huge investments in a number of major global health programs such as PEPFAR, the President's Malaria Initiative, and others. And one idea could be to, you know, resolve that all clinics or, you know, all programs receiving U.S. funding for medications, for bed nets, or for any number of other kinds of programs would, you know, have to have on their premises adequate water facilities for patients to take medicine, for healthcare providers to wash their hands and ensure hygiene principles, you know, within the context of the clinic, and to ensure that water is available for both the patients and family members who are attending that clinic. So, you know, the U.S. could perhaps start by incorporating that into some of the global health initiatives that it already has going and then encourage others to do the same.
Catherine, thank you for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. For interested listeners, you can read Catherine's full publication at www.smartglobalhealth.org. Thank you.